Today was a date afternoon for the pastors and their wives, and so we were going to go to a Japanese restaurant, but they were all closed because it's the 4th of July. I didn't realize that Japanese celebrated the 4th of July, but it worked out fine. And I'd like to report back to you that I did get my double scoop of ice cream. Here's a picture of Mark and I. Is the picture up there? Well, trust me, we got our... Doesn't Mark, his was a single, doesn't that look as large as mine? But anyway, so thank you very much, Mas Okada. I don't know if he's here this evening. And, you know, one of the things Mark did teach his kids is generosity. And even though every time we did this, he would say to Mark, waste of time, waste of money. But he couldn't take back the teaching of generosity. In fact, several years back, his other son, Paul, bought me this shirt. Paul used his own wallet. And so I always thought, if I ever speak at Mount Hermon again, I'm going to wear the shirt that Paul Okada bought me. And so I appreciate how Mas and Nan taught their children generosity. And one of the things we get to experience this week are moments of generosity, the blessing of giving. That was going to be one of the messages, but I felt like these other messages are what the Lord wanted to have shared. And the two more times we get to practice generosity, one will be Friday afternoon when we get to give a gratuity to the Mount Hermon staff, not the admin staff, but those who serve us, the workers in the dining facilities, the workers that take care of our children in both places, day camp and child care. And all the staff members, a lot of them are just summer workers, and we get to collect a gratuity for all of them, a love offering. And that'll be Friday afternoon. So at the lunch table, there'll be receptacles for you to place either cash or a check. If you write a check, be sure to make that one out to Mount Hermon. The GEMS leadership will collect it, count it, and then turn it over to Mount Hermon. So I'll remind you again tomorrow evening. That'll be Friday afternoon. If you ate as many meals in a restaurant, just think of the gratuity you left just for the staff that serves. But this will take care of all the different workers on the campus that serve us this week. And then Friday evening, we'll take an offering for GEMS. There'll be envelopes available for you. And so be praying about how much the Lord will have you give to GEMS. And then the request I made on top of that was, besides that and over and above that, think about maybe giving something and earmarking it on the envelope for a missionary care conference in Japan. It'd be sort of be seed money toward that end to care for the missionaries that are in Japan. So, and I'll re-mention both of these tomorrow evening to refresh our memory. If you can pull out, because I think you probably have it, Tuesday morning's message, if you have notes from Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning's message. Now, I'm not going to repeat the message. I don't think I could do an adequate job of that. But Pastor Greg shared about the fact that God restores our wounded soul. That was message number two. And truth number one was that God didn't wound us. Truth number two was God will restore your wound. And truth number three, scars remain for good. Those were the three points that were shared, three truths that were shared with us. And then as I was praying, and Greg and I did consult about what we're going to be speaking on so we didn't overlap too much. And so I gave him the titles of my messages and the text, and then he prayed about preaching on and teaching on restoring our souls, how God restores our souls. And then, but I don't think it was by accident that two of the messages sort of overlap, Tuesday morning and this evening. So after Greg preached Tuesday morning, I thought maybe I'll change the Wednesday night message. And part of the Wednesday night message, the purpose of it is to stir in our hearts the things God wants us to be prayed over. Because at the end of the service, in fact, kind of like two-thirds of the way through the service, we're going to have a prayer time where prayer ministers will line up on the sides of the sanctuary or auditorium, and you'll have a chance to go to them and receive prayer. And we're going to try to devote at least 20 minutes to that before parents have to leave. So that's the goal. And we'll see how the Lord does that, what the Lord does. And so as I share the message and as you reflect upon what Greg shared on Tuesday morning, See if the Lord is prompting you to receive prayer this evening, to pray for the areas where you have pain and suffering. This is not an easy message to receive, but it's a message that can help restore our soul. Let me begin with some thoughts about pain and suffering, the blessings that we find in pain and suffering, and we'll begin with just some thoughts. First thought, you are all here because some woman decided to endure pain and suffering in order to bring you into this world. Isn't that true? Today it's a little less painful, but nonetheless, I know of women who have decided not to have children because of the anticipation of pain and suffering that childbirth renders unto the person delivering. So it's really a serious matter. I also learned early in my pastoral career, you don't ask a woman who just gave birth if she's going to have a second child. I did that early on. Well, you can have another one? Don't ask me that now. But of course, they ended up having three children because the pain and suffering there is so worthwhile and the blessing is so evident. Second thought, if you are currently going through a painful experience, it may be difficult for you to receive this message as it might have been Tuesday morning. C.S. Lewis wrote this, "You can't see anything while your eyes are blurred with tears. You can't see anything while your eyes are blurred with tears." Even Jesus from the cross cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" At that moment, he was taking on the sins of the world. So even God's son had difficulty comprehending at that moment all the good and blessing that was coming through the pain and suffering he was experiencing, the agony and the humiliation, the Son of God. Here's a third thought. It is important to seek and derive meaning in our suffering. It is important to seek and derive meaning in our suffering. Viktor Frankl was a survivor of a concentration camp in World War II. And this is what he wrote. "When we suffer, the single most important ingredient is seeing purpose in it. Lack of purpose breeds hopelessness. Purpose imparts the strength to sustain. Suffering ceases to be suffering in some way at the moment it finds a meaning." And that's what Pastor Greg was sharing with us on Tuesday morning. God intends it for good. Brother Lawrence stated, "To suffer is one thing. To suffer without meaning is another. But to suffer and choose not to press for any meaning is different again." And Brother Lawrence was advocating, you know, we need to reflect on why the suffering exists and to seek God's meaning in our suffering. Here's a fourth thought. This is from Lewis Smead. I have two seminary professors that I really, really enjoyed. Lewis Smead was one of them. He was a professor of Christian ethics. This is what he wrote. "Ministries of healing are not the main Christian answer to suffering. At their very best, they eliminate a particular suffering of a particular person. They do not remove all suffering from life. And there are still many others suffering the same suffering that was just healed. The healings are signs that God is alive, that Christ is Lord, and that suffering is not the last word about human existence." And in the course of 41 years of pastoral ministry, I prayed for thousands of people for healing, and well, we should, but only a fraction were actually healed. Does that mean I don't have enough faith or they don't have enough faith? No, there is a component in God's economy that says there's something that is positive about suffering. Here's a fifth thought, again from Lewis Smeads. "Healing from within suffering is as wonderful as healing from suffering. God gives inner strength that compensates for loss and gives a sufferer resourcefulness to live faithfully and effectively," which was Greg's last point on Tuesday. You know, the Bible doesn't say, "He restores my body." The psalmist wrote, "He restores my soul." Even if the body is deteriorating before our very eyes, He restores the soul, the inner person, the spirit of a person, not always the body. So these are five thoughts at the beginning of the message. Second, Roman numeral in the outline. This is the myth about pain and suffering. The myth about pain and suffering. Here's the myth. If I ignore my pain, it will go away. If I ignore my pain, it will go away. M. Scott Peck wrote this. Fearing pain, almost all of us, to a greater or lesser degree, attempt to avoid problems. We procrastinate, hoping they will go away. We ignore and pretend they don't exist. We attempt to get out of them rather than suffer through them. Let me again quote Peck. Problems do not go away. They must be worked through or else they remain forever a barrier to growth and development of the spirit. Unfortunately, M. Scott Peck didn't follow his own advice and led a rather reprobate life, but his advice was sound. Let me address the men in the auditorium this morning or this evening. You may have an actual physical pain at some point in your life. And sometimes men have this philosophy or myth that if I ignore it, it will go away. If you have a physical pain, go see a doctor. Don't gut it out. Go see a doctor. I know of men who didn't go see a doctor, and the net result is they died with something that could have been resolved with medical attention. Men, if you have an issue, a pain, go see a doctor, or you're going to live out this myth that if I ignore it, it will go away, and it won't. I give this advice to the men in our church on a fairly regular basis. Every retreat I do for the men, go see a doctor. There are two types of pain and suffering. Two types of pain and suffering. There is good pain and suffering, and there is bad pain and suffering. And there's a difference between the two. Now, they can all end up in a good place, as we learned Tuesday morning. But there is, at the very outset, things that are good and things that just are intrinsically bad. For instance, if you walked out of this evening and a guy with a mask walked up to you in the dark parking lot, took out a knife, stabbed you in the stomach. This is not at Mount Hermon, though, right? But you're back at home, all right? Took all your money and left you in an unconscious state. You'll call him a mugger. Someone would call the police, and they would try to find the perpetrator or the perp. But if you left this meeting and drove down the street, walked into a room, and a guy with a mask came to you in a brightly lit room, took out a knife, cut your stomach open, took all your money, and left you in an unconscious state, you would call him a doctor. Yeah, I'll let you think about that one for a while. My apologies to doctors, because this is for good. This is for good. And you would thank him for helping you out. One is a mugging, the other is surgery. One pain is obviously bad, and the other is just as obviously good. There's a difference between good pain and suffering and bad pain and suffering. The first is bad pain and suffering, the first example. The second is good. Good pain and suffering is therapeutic. Bad pain and suffering is destructive. And we must be able to distinguish between the two. Let me say a few words about bad pain and suffering. Bad pain and suffering. Bad pain and suffering often occur as a result of the collision of three things. This is just one way bad pain and suffering exists. The existence of character faults, right? The repetition of old patterns, and the desire to avoid pain and suffering. When those three things collide, it's usually bad pain and suffering. If you're a procrastinator, and it causes you to suffer in your life, like you're late paying your debts. But you keep procrastinating. You don't respond to collection letters. That's a repetition of old patterns. And then you avoid the issue of procrastination because it pains you to deal with it or even admit that it exists in your life, and you lose credit. You go into default. That's a bad experience, and it needs to be dealt with from the front end and not just the back end of the experience. Proverbs 26:11 says this, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. But oftentimes we repeat the same thing over and over and over again based upon character faults, old patterns of living, and the avoidance of pain and suffering. The two qualities of pain and suffering that are negative are that it's destructive, and that bad pain and suffering is normally the result of one's own sin or someone else's sin. Here's some examples. Pain from spousal or child abuse, that's bad pain and suffering. It's based on the character flaw of the abuser, and that's repetitive oftentimes. And oftentimes the one being abused in the family deny or avoid the issue. The example that was given to us about Christine and the boyfriend abuse. Pain from making bad choices. Investments, housing, friends. Pain from repeating poor work habits. Pain from addictions. Pain from not setting healthy boundaries. Pain from lack of forgiveness. Pain from isolation. Bad pain. But remember, this is the good news. This is the gospel. God can still use bad pain and suffering for good. At the end of Genesis, what did Joseph say to his brothers who threw him in a pit and started that whole chain of events that was so negative and horrible in Joseph's life? He said, "You intended it for evil, but God intended it for good," which is the third point of the Tuesday message, morning message. God intended it for good. And one of my heroes, or I guess heroines of my lifetime, is a woman named Johnny Erickson. We're about the same age, Johnny Erickson. For those of you who don't know who Johnny Erickson Tada is, she became a quadriplegic right after graduating from high school. She jumped into shallow water, broke her neck, did not have use of arms and her legs. She was bright, athletic, talented, and beautiful. But that dive head first into the water changed her life in an instant. Yet here's a picture of Johnny Erickson Tada painting or drawing, very talented. And this is what she had to say about her experience after God met her and saw, and she saw something that was spoken of Tuesday morning. "There are good reasons why we suffer. I found reasons and I discovered answers. I saw God's goodness at work." You know, if she can say that, I find it difficult that we won't be able to say the same thing when we're confronted with pain and suffering in our lives. In fact, our pain and suffering probably seems rather shallow compared to hers. She's led a vibrant, wonderful life, incredible life. Let me share with you seven reasons that give meaning to pain and suffering. Seven reasons that give meaning to pain and suffering. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we were there on Tuesday, verses 3 to 11. First of all, pain and suffering gets our attention. Pain and suffering gets our attention. Verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with a comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." See that conjunction, "so that"? That tells us that pain and suffering, the things for which God comforts us, gets our attention. There's a purpose in it. God's trying to get our attention. When I was growing up, our family owned a catering truck business. I was a preteen and teenager. Here's a picture of the catering truck. That's an old school catering truck. Today you stand in the middle of it in the back and you cook, right? If we had to cook, we wouldn't have made any money whatsoever. But we used to fill that truck and sell stuff. As a preteen and teenager, I went to work with my dad and my uncle, who both have one of these trucks. We worked 14 hours a day. Right? We got up around 2 in the morning. My uncle, I got up at 1 in the morning. With my dad, between 2 and 3 in the morning. We go load the truck. First stop was around 6 or 7 o'clock. We worked to about 2, cleaned the truck to about 4. So that was 2 to 4. My grandchildren asked me, "How much did you get paid, Grandpa?" I said, $5 a day. I've never worked out how much that was per hour. It was just too painful. But this was good pain and suffering, actually. But you know, what my parents wanted to teach me was the value of hard work. They wanted to teach me a work ethic. And doing this got my attention. I mean, you don't even watch the clock when you work a 14-hour day. But this is what my dad did every day. My uncle did every day to support the family. And that got my attention. Pain and suffering gets our attention. C.S. Lewis wrote this: God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. That's one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I think Christine, Ron and Carol, and Roy Toma, God got their attention through the things in which they suffered. Secondly, pain and suffering allows us to be strengthened by God. Pain and suffering allows us to be strengthened by God. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We are comforted by God. That means God will sustain us. That means God will strengthen us. How else will we be comforted? You know, there's a legend concerning an old violin maker who was very much envied by his fellow artisans because of the superiority of his product. He finally disclosed the secret of his success. While others went into the protected valleys to cut wood to make their violins, he climbed the rugged crags of a nearby mountain in order to secure trees which had become severely twisted and gnarled by storms. Here's a picture of a tree that's gnarled by stones, storms. From these weather-beaten monarchs of the forest, he then fabricated his violins, famous for their tone and beauty. He knew that the fierce trial of mountain gales caused such trees to strengthen and toughen their fibers. It was this, their storm-tortured heart and grain, that produced the deep, colorful tones when music was played. Pain and suffering strengthens us to the point where we will begin to emanate deep, colorful tones in the core of our lives. Thirdly, pain and suffering allows us to comfort others. Again, verse 4, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God uses people to comfort other people. He comforts us, sometimes using people, and then we as a person comfort other people. That's the economy of God at work. You know, Johnny Erickson endured pain and suffering. And what did she do? She started Johnny and Friends. And then in 2010, you know, Johnny and Friends helps those who are disabled, special needs people. And then in 2010, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Think about it. First, a quadriplegic, and then 45 years later, breast cancer. I mean, isn't it enough? And she had that struggle. But this is what she then said. Breast cancer always happens to other women, not me. 45 years of living in a wheelchair provided enough challenges without thinking of cancer. If you were sitting in that wheelchair, what would you think? So what does she do? Remember, God restores the soul, not necessarily the body. Well, typical of Johnny Erickson Tata, she faced it head on and produced material of insight she learned as she battled cancer. And she has a DVD available to help those who have the same struggle. And now she has support groups for women who have breast cancer. She's been comforted by God so that she can comfort others. Fourthly, pain and suffering allows us to build community. Verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction. What is Paul saying? He's letting people in on his affliction because he knows the power of community when it comes to pain and suffering. Vanier wrote this, there are many times when together we discover that we make a single body. We belong to each other and that God has called us to be together as a source of life for each other. When I was in high school, I got spiked playing baseball. It hurt. I needed stitches. got home after going to the hospital. All right, my folks had to go get some pain medication, so they left. And then they went out to dinner with the rest of my brother and sister. So I was lying there by myself in the bedroom, and it hurt. And I just couldn't wait for them to come home. So finally, the car drove up, and just hearing the car drove up, the pain wasn't as bad because I wasn't alone anymore. Too often, we struggle with pain and suffering alone. Some of you have pain and suffering in your life right now, and you don't really want to share it with anybody. During the time of prayer, go up to a prayer ministry team or person and just share it. I need prayer for this. Or just say generically, I have some pain in my life. Can you just pray for me? There is comfort in community, and it builds community. No one should suffer alone. Let me again quote Professor Smeads. Community is not just a place for the suffering to find comfort, but for the comfortable to find suffering. It's a two-way street. Not just a place for the suffering to find comfort, but for the comfortable to find suffering. You going to somebody for help actually helps them too. Fifthly, pain and suffering allows us to trust and depend on God. Verse 9, indeed, we had a sentence of death within ourselves in order that we not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. In Hebrews chapter 5, 8, says of Jesus that although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Sixthly, pain and suffering allows us to experience God's deliverance. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, he will yet deliver us. And I have a pastor friend. When they were expecting their fourth child, the doctor said, you need to abort the child because the child, there's something wrong with the child. And they decided, no, we're believers. We're not going to abort a baby. But it was the next 7 months or 8 months were difficult. A lot of pain and suffering as they had this expectation. And then when the baby was born, the baby was perfectly normal. And God delivered them of that particular trial in their life. In fact, I know three or four couples just in our church. The doctors told them the same thing. You need to abort because they're a special needs child. And in each case, the child was born normal. I wonder how many babies get aborted because of the advice of doctors, advice of people that are basically wrong. If the child was born with special needs, we're going to see special camp tomorrow night. Should any of them have been aborted? Seventhly, pain and suffering allows us to build a prayer life. Verse 11. You also joining, helping us through your prayers. And thanks may be given to by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. Prayer. That's what we're going to be doing tonight. Prayer. If you have pain and suffering in your life, go for prayer. And let the Lord begin to restore your soul. Your wound is for good. You know, God sees things differently. Isaiah 55, 8, 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. We see trials. God sees opportunities for growth. We see suffering. God sees steadfastness. We see shattered dreams. God sees pieces for a new beginning. What is the point of suffering in your life? Sometimes we just fail to see the blessing of pain and suffering because our eyes are blurred with tears. One song that has ministered to me over the years and others is in times of pain and suffering was written by Laura Story. Her husband was going through cancer, and she was inspired to sing this or to write this particular song. And Bethany and Sunday will be singing the song, and I'll share a reflection about it, and then we're going to go into prayer. Let me pray and ask the Lord to bless this time. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you are such a good God and that you take the things that are difficult in our lives, the pain and the suffering, and, And you deal with it for us. You restore our soul in the midst of it. It never goes to waste. Help us to always remember you restore the soul. And there's not always healing from, but there's healing within. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And now, Father, help us to just reflect on the things that have caused us pain and suffering over the years or perhaps more recently. And Lord, prompt us to be prayed for if that's what you desire tonight. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.
Blessings.
God's goodness, the Father's favor, the Lord's loving kindness in our lives. Blessings, a bright hope for an imminent future, an optimistic expectation of an impending time to come, an eager anticipation of an important life to live. Blessings, potential untapped, possibilities unfulfilled, prospects untouched. The Bible is filled with moments of blessing. God blessed Adam and Eve. God blessed Abraham. God blessed Isaac. God blessed Joseph. God blessed his only begotten son, Jesus. They were all blessed by God, prosperous, adequately, prominent, definitely, powerful, undeniably. Yet, Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden. Abraham went childless for most of his life. Isaac lost a son. Jacob was hated by his brother. Joseph was sold into slavery. Jesus was mocked, beaten, hung on a cross, and felt forsaken by his father. Blessings are so much more than just prosperity, prominence, and power. The one who created us wants so much more for us than possessions, prestige, and persuasion. Blessings come when we are more like the one who made us. Our view of blessings is so restrained, so restricted, so reduced and regulated. We desire earthly happiness instead of everlasting joy. We yearn for creature comfort instead of godly growth. We long to be loved unreservedly instead of loving others unconditionally. We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All the while, you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. A husband dies. A wife discovers a lump. A child develops an illness. A friend has an accident. A career comes to a halting end. A retirement fund suddenly evaporates. Heartaches abound. Nights are sleepless. Days are endless. Tears are shed. Hearts are broken. Minds are overwhelmed. Love grows cold. Where's the blessing? Where is our God? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. All the while, you hear each desperate plea and long that we have faith to believe. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We look for the sun to shine. We hope for cloudless skies. We seek shelter in the rain. We climb for mountaintops. We live for triumph. We desire comfort. We struggle for peace. We expect good health. We long for friendships. We anticipate good times. We yearn for love. But what if your blessing comes through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is revealing a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? What if the trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights are your mercies in disguise? Yes, God loves us far too much to leave us as we are. He uses whatever is necessary to repair, to refine, to replenish, and to restore us to a place deserving a child of the King. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for your sovereign will being done. May we always trust in the fact that however your blessings come, you love us no matter what.
Come through raindrops. What if your healing comes through? 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near. What if my greatest disappointments are the aching of this life? Is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
You know, the greatest blessing that God has ever given to us is the blessing of His Son, Jesus Christ. If you've been here a half of the week now, and if you have heard, seen, shared with others, and are at a place now where you're ready to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's the greatest blessing you could ever have from God. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to do just that this evening. Let's all join together and bow our heads in prayer. If you'd like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to receive that blessing from God, eternal life and a life abundant here on earth, where God turns your pain and suffering to something good, would you repeat this prayer after me, making it your own? Dear Jesus, I believe you are God's Son, that you died on a cross, that you rose from the grave. I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you into my life as my Savior and Lord. Now, if you close off that prayer with an amen. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer with me this evening, would you please raise your hand and raise it high so that I can see it? Please raise it high. Thank you. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Now, I'm going to ask something of you. Tomorrow in your small group, would you please share that you confessed your faith in Jesus or renew your faith in Christ? And small group leaders, can you please ask if anyone in your small group prayed the prayer this evening? Thank you. And now we're going to have a time of prayer. We have prayer ministry teams on both sides of the auditorium. And Bethany's going to just play music. And before we have our closing worship time, we have almost 20 minutes before you have to leave. Right? So there's plenty of time. Sit and meditate upon the Lord. Pray. And then if the Lord's Spirit moves you to receive prayer, you know, to begin a journey of restoration, to begin a journey of just pain and suffering that God will begin to tend to, would you go for prayer this evening? It's a good place to start, or it's a good place to continue your journey of healing, where God's mercies and blessings come upon you. So just get up. People won't mind you crossing in front of them, not one bit. Just go to either side. If there's somebody already being prayed for, just patiently wait there. Well, they won't. In fact, we'll be here past 8:30 if you need us to be here for prayer. Okay, now let me pray for this. Father God, I now pray that you would move those who are to receive prayer tonight to do just that, receive prayer. I pray you take away inhibitions. I pray you remove pride. Father, we all have things for which we need prayer. And so, Lord, for whatever reason, may this be the night that we go to you and seek you through prayer. Thank you for those who will be praying, Lord. Thank you that you're going to anoint them with the words that need to be spoken over those who are being prayed for. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So please make your way for prayer. I will be there.
Before you call, I will answer you. Will you still speak? I will hear. My ears are turned to the cry of my chosen one. In my love, you can rest in me. To me, my people, come. There's no need to be afraid of your father. When I see you, I will run. I will be there. I will be there before. Answer you. Will you still speak? I will hear. My ears are turned to the cry of my chosen one. And in my love, you can rest in me. No, I will not forget you. I gather my lambs in my arms, so I will comfort you. So I will comfort you. So to me, my people, come. There's no need to be afraid of your father.
Sometimes it's difficult to go for prayer if you see the station already have somebody there. So I'm going to ask a favor of the pastors. Some of the pastors, could you go to the line, going to the walls and be make yourself available for prayer? The pastors are in the room. Then we'll have some more open stations for prayer. Because I believe the Lord wants wants many of us prayed over this evening. So pastors, if you don't mind going to the walls and please make use of this incredible resource of prayer. So make your way over there. You may not think your pain and suffering is big enough or large enough, but there's nothing so small that God doesn't want to tend to. So please make your way to the walls and receive prayer, please. Use this moment in time to beseech the Lord.